You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJC.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
Hello and welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show. Hey, today we're talking about virtual reality. And no, we're not going to talk about the technology. We're not going to talk about anything that you can buy for Christmas that's going to be in the stores and someplace that you can grab the latest tech or any particular item that's out there. Now, granted, there's a lot of items out there, and I know Christmas is coming, and I know some of us are always looking for new tech and new opportunity for things to enhance our lives. But today we're talking about our lives and the whole thought of virtual reality versus what reality really is. Social media and the internet is providing so many of us with ways to escape from who we are, to reinvent ourselves, to paint a picture for the world to see of something that's not true. Now, I'm not bashing people who are doing things on YouTube and various parts of the internet, different social media, who become social media stars, Instagram stars, Facebook stars, things like that. I'm not bashing them. What I'm doing, though, is bringing the reality to this virtual reality. Sometimes this information, this lifestyles that people are portraying, that we all portray or can portray out there, if it's fraudulent, it's just fraudulent. I know I do a lot of work on social media. I'm on it a lot. I'm doing research for this podcast and my other podcast and radio show, The Raising Men Show. I'm doing a lot of work out there. I'm seeing a lot of posts. I'm reading a lot of information. A lot of it's good and a lot of it is bad. And I'm always asking myself as I'm posting, as I'm doing things like this, you know, am I being authentic? Am I being real? Am I being transparent? Is the same person that you would meet when you meet me on the street the same person that I'm posting about? Am I the same person that's in my house daily with my kids? And that's one of the things I committed to my children when I launched Raising Men probably the better part of 4 years ago. I told them that no matter what I do, no matter how many books I write, shows I do, I want them to always know that their dad was the same guy at home as he was in an interview or out in public. I didn't want to be fraudulent because the kids will call you on it. The kids will know if you're real, if you're genuine, if you are who you are, because they see you every day, every moment of every day that you're with them. They see you. Just like in that movie Avatar. Now, I know some of us have seen that. You know, it's the one of the movies with the blue aliens, but these are the blue aliens that were tall and thin, and the humans were actually going to their planet to take this unobtainium material from their planet. It's awfully interesting about that title, too, but we're not getting into that. But in that movie, the language there of the local aliens was talking about being able to see you, and that means they see into you. They see who you are. They see beyond the face and the facade, beyond the likes, beyond the followers. Your kids, they see us. They see us for who we really are. And I don't want my kids to see their dad as being fraudulent, because if they're seeing me as being fraudulent or not being real, not being genuine, that means it gives them an opportunity to be the same. And I don't want that. I want my kids to be genuine, to be true men and men of God. I want them to be positive role models. I want them to be able to stand the test of time. Okay, we won't even stand the test of time. I want these kids to be strong. I want these kids to be rocks. I want them to be not unfeeling. I want them to be able to feel and understand who they are and what's going on around them and where we've come from and how we've had to overcome and how we have to continue to overcome no matter what we are faced with. We've come from a background that's solid, that was both parents at home that were, you know, both working together and working towards the same common goal. It wasn't always happy and joyful, so we don't want to paint that picture that it was always perfect in our house, but it wasn't always tragic either. I need the kids to understand that there's life outside the game system. There's life outside their phones. There's life right here next to them. I don't want the kids caught in some virtual reality, because virtual is a key word here. It means something that's not true. It means that it doesn't exist, that it's It's suspended in time and space. It's a place that you can't get to. It's not real. And it's funny because we even are so pushing technology right now that is called virtual reality. Because if you're watching even right now, coming to Christmas, there's a couple of new virtual reality systems that are out there. I know there's one with where they're actually showing people enjoying the games, whether they're sitting in bathtubs and with these strange creatures that are opposite them, and they're really getting caught in what that game is showing them and what the character is that they are, their avatar in that game is doing, and they're so caught up in that life. And so many of us out there are caught up in our social media as well in terms of what we portray that we're doing. It's not always what we're really doing. In so many cases, it's not what we're doing. Because if you think about it, life is not really all that funny in so many cases. It's not so joyful. We're not always, you know, rappelling off of a mountainside or paragliding, or we're not always doing, you know, sunset hearts with our hands and hanging out with our Instagram and social media spouses, so to speak. It's not always the perfect hair and the perfect light and come in, let me do this selfie in the perfect light. Oh, you got the perfect light. Because life is not perfect. Life hurts quite a bit. And I'm not trying to paint that picture that life sucks and then let's be this naysayer and, oh, let's just, you know, who's this guy on this crazy blog because she's talking about the gloom and doom, he's bringing me down. Well, you know what? We got to bring it to where it is. There's moments in life when life sucks, and there's moments in life when life is outstanding. But we've got to be able to deal with both. We've got to be able to be transparent and work with both and understand that both are a part of it. They're the whole thing, that you can't have one without the other. In the case of the virtual reality right now, we're asking technology, we're asking ourselves to retreat to there. There's so many times we have people that we may talk to only on social media, only via this electronic medium. And that's fine because it has expanded the globe. Well, in some case, people may say it's made the globe smaller. And that's fine. Whichever way you look at it, it has expanded our ability to meet people. It has reduced the distances between us. But at the same time, it's actually put chasms between us. Because I don't know how many of you have actually met a person who's liked your post or liked your page or who's following you on any type of social media anywhere. Have you ever met them in person? Have you ever talked to them? Have you ever called them? Have you ever been in their presence? I mean, we've instituted this thing at my house with the kids to go back as a throwback. Yeah, it may be throwback lifestyle, throwback lifetime, because my family, when I grew up, we sat at the table together unless there was some oddity that took us away, whether it be a practice or a meeting at the church or some other things that my parents had to do. But so most often we sat at the table together. Now, okay, fine. Some people say, well, you're 100 years old and that doesn't exist today because of our busy lifestyle. And that's fine. But even through the course of a busy lifestyle, you can find time, one meal a day, to sit at the table at least three days a week if you can. There shouldn't be any reason why you can't be there 3 days a week. Now, I get it. There's single parents out there raising kids because you have to eat. You've got to work. You've got to make money. You've got to bring the financial protection to your home. I get that. I do. And it's unfortunate that today's day and age, today's climate and financial system has required us to split the families in so many different directions. It's splitting with one parent in one direction. It splits the other parent in the other direction. It splits the children to be able to do and be whatever they have to do and be at the time because, you know, they've got to get over. They've got to get by. So we buy game systems. We buy into the virtual reality concept where it's cooler in these games because the color is right. The light is always right. My character's got a great skin or whatever we're calling these things. My kids play Fortnite, so they always ask me for these DLC packs for their games, and they want their avatar to have the best equipment, the best outfit, the best glider. You know, if we spent the same amount of time and the money that we shell into these games, enriching our kids' education, our kids would be brilliant. Have you asked yourself, can your kids Do your kids know the multiplication tables off the top of their head? From 1 to 12? Can they divide the same way? Can they make change? Before the cashier says, hey, this your change is blah, blah, blah. Can they count the change back to you? Can they count the change before the lady or man at the register gives them the money back? Do our kids actually know what they're buying is really what the price is that they should be paying for? Are we paying attention? I had one of my kids tell me a week or two after he'd already been somewhere that he got cheated from the sales agent. I said, what do you mean he got cheated? She said, yeah, they didn't give me back my proper change. Well, how did you know? Why didn't you catch it at the time? Well, I didn't count it out. Now, you know, he's 12, and I get it that at 12, you're making change in your head can be a little, challenging. It could be a problem. But as you get older, you shouldn't have that same problem at 15, 17, 20, or 49. You should know what the change is that's coming back to you. You shouldn't have the computer in your phone. Now, I get it. You throw the tax in there. That makes things a little bit more challenging. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about some basic math here. If I had to estimate what my tax was, it's about, 8%, 8.5%, 8.75%, depending where you are. Okay, fine. You can round it up and use at least 10% against your value. And then at least you know what you're getting close to. A lot of our kids don't even understand what a percentage is and how to work it without using their phone or calculator. And that's a problem. Now, I'm not saying I run a perfect home with perfect sets of mathematicians and English majors and, people with English as a second language as well, speaking Spanish and other things. I'm not saying I have a perfect home. The kids don't know all the history. I've got an active role to play in it. Got a child right now that I have to spend a lot more time focusing on where he is with his homework and with his understanding of his homework, because we can't just sit back and say, well, we completed that assignment. Our child turned it in. That's great. We got to understand. Do they understand? And if we don't understand that they don't understand, or we don't understand that they understand, that's a problem. When we come back from break, we're going to spend a lot more time dealing with the concept more of virtual reality, understanding what the impact and the toll that takes on us, or can take on us, that it's taken on our kids and our family, and how it actually makes us into who we are. What do you look at? Is that really who we want to be? This is the Craig Carlisle Show, and I'm your host. We'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why are you listening all the time?
I don't know.
The show ain't all the time.
And welcome back to the Craig Carlisle Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. That's pretty basic, huh? That's pretty cool. So we're talking about virtual reality. And in the first segment, we've been dealing a lot with, you know, where we are with our kids and where we are with ourselves on social media. Where are we in this concept, in this world of virtual reality? Have we actually met any of the people that are liking us, that are following us, that are part of our, I don't know, social media tribe, so to speak? And when I sit down at the table with my kids, now granted, I was one of those parents, and I still am to a large degree, because I don't have this thing on lock. I'm just raising awareness to an issue that I have. And I know I'm not the only dad that has this problem. In my house, of course, I'm the only dad. I'm the only parent in my house. There's no other parent to fall back on, so I have to deal with the issues of where I'm at. When my wife died, their mother, the kid's mother died, be 6 years ago, this coming February. When I used to fix food for our kids, my goal was I just have enough energy to get this meal to the table. And if I get the meal to the table, that means those kids can stop asking me for something. They can give me a few minutes of time just to myself where I can just be me for a minute. That was my goal. So when I got done making their meal, and I cook, so it's not like the kids were getting pizza every night. And they got pizza and they got hamburgers, and some of the burgers we made our own fries and things like that. And I've taught them how to make fries. I've even taught the kids how to make their own pizza. So they know how to do that as well. But what I'm saying is, when I got the food to the table, I left. I vanished. I retreated to my room to breathe, to try to exhale a moment, to try to get enough energy to get back into this whole game again. Because, like I said in the first segment, life can be hard. Life's no cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. So kids are going to do what they do. Play with their phones at the table, watch TV, laugh, giggle, you know, throw food at each other, whatever they're going to do. Because they're going to do that because there was no guidance there. There was no parent leading them. There was no one saying that this is right or wrong. This is how we sit at the table. This is what we talk about at the table. This is what we talk about together. So we've moved to a different place. We like this place. We left a place that we really, really liked, lived in a place that we despised for about 13 months. During those two different places, coming into this place right now, we have had a lot of time to evaluate what happened to us. Where are we and how we are now? And I had to take a genuine set of, you know, accountability for what we had become. There's some damage that's done. I'm on damage control. We're trying to repair some things that, you know, when the ship took on water, when we hit a rock, ship didn't sink, didn't go down, but damn it, there was a lot of water it took on. There was a lot of damage that hole took. There's a lot of scars that my kids and I have. And fortunately, the members of the crew didn't go overboard. Fortunately, it wasn't, those of you who are my age group or older, you may remember Gilligan's Island, the show, where they crashed on a boat that was supposed to be a 3-hour tour and they were stuck on this island forever. Okay, or maybe the more modern shows like Lost or even Survivor. Yeah, some of these people were stuck on islands. In the case of the movie Lost, those people were dead. So we're not dead. We're not left for dead. We're very much alive. We're learning to thrive and we're working on living life abundantly. And abundance doesn't mean money. You know, money doesn't make you happy. It pays the bills. I used to say money may not make you happy, but it helps. And that's true. But it's not the center of who we are. It's not our reality. I don't ever want to make money our virtual reality, a space that we can retreat to that's not real. So going back to now with my kids sitting at the table, since we've been in our new place, I ask the kids quite often, I do health checks with the kids. And I'm not talking about like sending them to the doctor. Yeah, we do our checkups and we do, you know, make sure that, I keep saying we, there's no we, there's just me. So I mean, I try to make sure that the kids are healthy. And when we got to the new place, I asked the kids, what do we want to do differently here? We've got an opportunity to reset, you know. They tell it, remind them that they're, you know, or that your mom set the first, you know, house for us. Everything was set the way she wanted it. Now we had a way to reset it in a way that we wanted, because she wasn't here. She wasn't going to be here to buy a table or put a picture on the wall or buy a couch for us. We had to do it ourselves. We had to pick it. We had to make decisions. We had to stop crying and being upset about the fact that she wasn't there. We had to do it. So we did those things and bought furniture, set at tables now, and the kids were like, well, Dad, we want you to eat with us more often. Okay, I'll take that. I couldn't retreat to my room and to a safe cave and be away from them. They needed me to reconnect with them. Okay, cool. So we do that. Probably better part of 3 days a week, if not four, we sit at the table together at the same time, which means I have the responsibility to make sure that whatever we're eating is on the table. And so whoever's cooking with me or whoever's cooking that night, or it'd be me or one of the other kids, they've got to get out of their games in enough time to have the meal prepped and prepared and delivered to the table at 6 p.m. There's no, oh, I missed it because I was in a match. No, that's not going to cut it. They had to be real. We had to get out of that virtual reality and engage with the reality that lives with them, that sits beside them. And I've watched the first time that we sat there, the first few times that we sat there together, whether it be at home or in a restaurant somewhere together. I said, there's no phones then. You sit at this table together, there's no phones. And in many cases, there's no TV either. There's just us. It forces us to connect with each other and tell each other about their day and where we are and how they're doing and engage not just with me, but with each other so they don't lose connection. I've lost connection with a lot of people because we've chosen to disconnect. We've chosen to not care about how each other are. And in some cases, that's fine because I've been given the vision that it was time to separate from those. And that's, it hurts, but that's okay because I can't carry around a weight or in the form of a person that's going to be damaging to me, whether it be mentally, physically, or emotionally damaging. Can't do that. Got to protect myself. Got to protect my kids. You got to do the same. Now, if you're willingly just walking away from people for no good reason, that's a problem. That is a problem. But for the case of those that are unhealthy relationships where boundaries are being violated, whether you've put up the boundaries and you've made them known, or you've put up boundaries and didn't make them known, someone crosses that line, it's okay to help yourself and to protect yourself and make yourself safe and make your children safe and provide an environment that's safe. So we're sitting at the table first few times. It was awkward. I was like, oh my gosh. I've really become one of those parents that doesn't know who my kids are anymore. So I have to be intentional. I am being intentional to listen to them, not being so quick to criticize and not being so ready to say, oh, I don't want to hear about another video game. I don't want to hear about nothing. And there's so many cases. I don't want to hear about a video game. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to play the thing. I don't want any part of it. I just want to eat my food, drink my drink, and go lay down. But the reality is, by engaging with them and listening to them and learning about these games and why they like the game, you can hear a lot about your kids, about them as a person, as people. Even from the standpoint of how are they creating those sentences and putting them together, how is their grammar? We've been able to talk. Do they have senses of humor? Do they have understanding, a sense of who they are in the space of the game and what's going on in those games? Because in a lot of these games, there's some real nasty crap that's going on in there. I mean, there's chat rooms. Okay, so parents, if you're going to bury yourself in a hole, you need to understand. Kids are playing Call of Duty. Kids are playing Overwatch. What are other games? Any of these games that have an open mic that are having a group chat philosophy. There's some trollers in there. There's some folks in there that are using profanity. And parents, our kids are no angels. They have no wings. They have no halos over their head. Unless they're playing the Halo game. You got Halo in front of them. Some of our little angels are cussing up a storm. I know a kid right now that my kids are really friendly with. He's been over the house, you know, several times. Been knowing this kid a long time. And there's, I was like, I came in the room, I heard this stuff going on. I said, who in the world are you talking to? Oh, that's such and such. Okay, well, what is, I know he's not cussing up a storm. He's not a sailor. He's not in the military. He got a mouth like a sailor. Now, don't disrespect to those of the Navy. That was an old term we used to have back in the day. He used to say, he also used to say, he had a mouth like a gutter snipe. I ain't never seen a gutter snipe before. But for those of you who don't know, for new school, they cuss a lot. I don't want my kids dealing with that. So do I cut them off from the kid altogether? Well, no. I just make sure my kids understand, look, my dad doesn't, you know, he doesn't get down like that. That's not what my dad wants us to do. Now, and when I see the young man, I do remind him, when you're over here playing, we don't speak that way. And if you decide that that's not good, that's not a problem. I can take you home. That's not a problem. Your parents don't even have to come get you. We'll get you right in the car right now. We can set you on home. So that's that boundary that I set in my house. It's not a virtual reality boundary. That is a real boundary. Profanity is not a good thing. When I get angry, unfortunately, the few words that voluntarily come out, because I know what I'm saying, and I want to get the point across. And I find that I do that at my house because I want to get their attention. Some parents are like, oh my gosh, you cussed at your kids. Well, you know what? I will do, and I just had this conversation with my 12-year-old just yesterday. I told him, I will do whatever I have to do to get your attention, to make sure you understand that I'm not leaving you for dead or for gone, for lost, but you will find out what you need to have found out about yourself to make you better, to get you through all of your classes, to get you the understanding that you need, to get you to become who you're supposed to during this time that you live in my house. I'm not leaving you for dead. I don't want anybody to ever think, I want him to ever think for any stretch of the imagination that I didn't care. But I'm real with it. I am an in-your-face father. I'm an in-your-face active person. I'm an in-your-face, let me get to the bottom of your issue. Let's work this thing out together. I'm not leaving you in a corner. I may want to. You may have pissed me off enough where I think you ought to be over there. But you know what? I love you. I made sure he knew beyond a shadow of knowing that I loved him. I made sure that he understood that, yes, I'm very angry with him, because I was angry with him at the time, but I needed him to understand that though I may be angry, I may be up in arms and be beside myself with what he just did or didn't do, but I wasn't leaving him by himself to figure it out. I wasn't tossing him aside. Parents, we got to get better. There's no virtual reality. It's all reality. This is the Craig Carlisle Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
Experience uniquely crafted gifts, ranging from fragrant candles to artisan jewelry and more. Be the lucky swagbag winner of curated gifts donated by your community of artisan. I'm Shawnee Whitehead. I'm personally inviting you to experience festive Christmas shopping with friends. Join us every weekend through December 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be at Sears Shopping Center in Temecula Wine Country. To participate as a vendor or musical guest, contact Shawnee at helloamazingmarkets@hotmail.com. Have a Merry Christmas.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
Okay, we're moving into the last segment. We've been talking about virtual reality. And I know for me, when I've spent a lot of time, you know, talking to the kids about their games, and I have had to be obedient and buy into this whole game system thing. not because I wanted to. I felt I was led to. So I needed to find out what was in there. I needed to find out and listen and be a part of the kids' environment. I need to know what they're doing. I need them to know that I know what they're looking at, what they're being a part of. I also need to know, as a consumer who's spending money on these games with these kids, what is it doing to my kids, and how is their behavior changing as a part of being in these systems, and who's in there with them, and if I'm in the game with them, listening to their bad, trashy mouth behavior and conversations, I need to make sure that those who are in those games as well know who I am in those games. My 15-year-old, he does report people from time to time. So if you ever play with one of my kids and you decide that you got a potty mouth and you just can't control yourself, or you want to be derogatory, or you want to be a cyber bully out there, yeah, my kids are the ones that do report you. They are the one that's reaching out to PlayStation and in an effort to get your accounts suspended and banned from being able to play because you're just not being great people. And that's just the way it is. You need to become better people. Now, in the virtual reality part, when we sit back and we're not good with who we are for whatever reason, that's why virtual reality sounds so appealing, because we're not happy and excited about who we are as people, where we are with our lives, and why we are who we are in our lives. I found, for me, and I've got three scriptures that I'm going to go through briefly. This is our final segment before we go into Shelty's Comedy Corner. So I got to get this in. I got about less than 11 minutes to get through this. And we're not going to rush through, but I don't want to leave anything uncharted either. So what helps me make sure that I don't get caught in a virtual reality, and again, for parents, our virtual reality may be the television. It may be sports. And okay, guys, if you're out there listening who are a big sports fan, especially like myself, I follow the Lakers. I go back to when they were at the Fabulous Forum back in the day, when it was burgundy, before it was painted, you know, blue and white, and that, you know, before the Staples Center, I was, you know, a Laker homer. And so, yeah, you know, LeBron's on our team now, and we're able to get a lot more wins as a part of that changeover. So I want to sit and watch, you know, basketball and get into that and watch my team and be excited about that reality. But you know what? Lakers and LeBron, all this, is not doing nothing for my household. And I'm not bad-mouthing LeBron. He's done a great thing, and he's doing great things for his community, our community, for Akron, and at least where his school is that he created. He's funding, he's doing a lot of great things. So I'm not bashing it from that standpoint. I'm not bashing it at all. I'm just using an example. In my house, the Lakers and the Staples Center and other shows I like to watch aren't doing anything to enrich my household. So I can't get caught up in things like that that are taking from my household. Now, granted, I'm not going to give my kids every moment of every day. I've been there, done that. I put my life on hold, stood at the window watching them walk to and from school as far as I could watch, or I followed them and I picked them up, and I've made myself available to them to make sure they understood that when they get out of school, that there's, or no matter what time they get out, whether they're sick or whether they're not, that there's somebody there that cared about them, that's waiting for them, that they don't have to come home to an empty house for long if I've got to be out somewhere. And that's a tough place to be, because it limits my opportunities outside the home to work and to provide. And it has been a challenge for us, but the challenge for in that case to make sure that there are great people, that they're secure, that they're not worried about where I am, it's worth it. It's worth every dime that I've sacrificed and allowed to go past me. It's worth every opportunity that I've lost out on at this time. Because I'm the one living here wondering and listening to these kids ask me, "Dad, I don't want anything to happen to you. Be careful. Are you home? Where are you?" And listening to the tones and the tenor of their voices, they're wondering about me. So I had to take the wonder out. I had to take that question off the table. That as long as the Lord gives me strength and health, I'm here. And if here meant sitting at the house, then here meant sitting at the house. Or if I am going to be out, I let them know in advance, whether it be on text as well, so they can go back and read it. So it's not like they had to remember, "Oh, where's Dad right now? Where's Dad? I don't know where my dad is." Because that has been an issue for us. So they need to know where I am. Your kids need to know where you are. They may be pretending that they don't because they're in these games, but we have got to remember that we're the parent. We're the one that provided those games. We're the one that provides the electricity for that game to run on. We're the one that provides the food that's sitting on the table cold. We're the ones that are waiting for them to come out of those games. We're the ones that set the rules and the standard and the boundaries. We're the ones that set the climate in this house, in our houses. Okay, in your house, maybe an apartment, it may be somebody's house that you're living and rooming in. That's fine. But whatever space that you're in, you have to remember that you're the one as the parent that sets the standard. And I had to learn as a reminder from a good friend of mine is we have to take responsibility for their failure as well. Because if we're not as active as we should be or could be in our child's educational or whatever process they're in, and when they fail, if we can't say that we've done everything possible to ensure their success, then we failed. And we failed right along with him. And we have to own every bit of that frustration, that hurt, and that pain, and that anxiety. I was talking to one of my kids yesterday. But he felt stressed. I'm like, what the heck do you have to feel stressed about? You don't have no job. You don't have no place that's monitoring what you are doing. You have no bills that you are paying. And you're stressed. But his stress came from what my response was going to be to them because of their failure. And I'm like, if you're stressed about my response, it's easy for me to say, well, then don't fail then, because you should be afraid of my response to you. But not from a standpoint that I'm the boogeyman. But if that stress comes from the fact that he was already acknowledging the fact that he wasn't doing his part. But as a parent, I had to now realize, or have to now realize, that why wasn't he able to be successful? He wasn't able to be successful right now because he didn't know how to do the work for some reason. Some reason he's stuck. This particular child just happens to be educationally constipated for some reason. All that's just something that's got him plugged up. So I've got to, as a parent, I've got to find out what's going on there. And that can be frustrating. Could allow us things that when they don't go right could allow us to want to retreat into these virtual reality worlds and live there because we feel inadequate, because we feel lost, because we don't feel that God really understands us. So what's helping me understand, even in preparing for today, helping me understand where I'm at, Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings. And again, I'm going to read all these from the New Living Translation. So if you're looking to find the verses that I'm reading word for word, New Living Translation. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, and the important thing is here, if you ever feel that you're alone and you don't, and that God doesn't understand you, well, you know what? He created you. He created us. So if he created us, then he understands us. He understands every single part of us, every part that we don't understand, the doctors don't understand. He created us. We're here for that. Education piece for here. So God here is the word Elohim, which means supreme God. So since this is an Old Testament scripture, we need to understand the context back in the day. So in here, Elohim meant supreme God, but it's a plural version of the word God, meaning there's more than one. Okay, so back in the Old Testament, that was before Jesus was born, came and died for our sins. So there was no concept of the Trinity that can be explained and was there in scripture. So back then it was thought of, I got to give the word God being plural here. So what I thought was great is that the thought of the Trinity here, it was implied. The implication in reading the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament is that we're speaking of the Trinity and we were created in the image of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this validates later scriptures that speak of man having the mind of Christ or God here, and then we have been forgiven of all of our sins that we are genuinely sorry for and are trying not to commit through the death of Jesus. Now that's key. If we have sins in our life that we're doing, we sin pretty much every moment, doggone near, of every day, unless we're asleep, right? But that's just, unfortunately, the sin nature since the fall of man, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So that's just the way things are. But when we sin, man, if we don't want to sin, if we don't try to make changes there and not sin, that's a problem. Spending so much time doing what's wrong and not being remorseful for it is an issue. So a lot of us think that, oh, I'm going to do, I can't stop doing what I'm doing. I just got to do it. No, you don't got to do it. Only thing you've got to do is breathe. And some people used to say, added to that, all I got to do is breathe, pay taxes, and die. Well, yeah, those are the three things you've got to do, at least in America. But the thing really is, when you die, where are you going afterwards? Because if I'm not remorseful about the sins that I'm willfully committing, it's going to be a problem for me. And I know sin sometimes makes you feel like it's good. These virtual reality worlds make us feel good. These areas where we're not adequately living and feeling in our own lives makes us feel good because we want to be in a space where that's all wonderful. The spaces that are inadequate are because we're not being who we're called to be, because we're allowing the world and our problems to get the best of us, because we're allowing ourselves to be less. I'm not less. God created me. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpieces." Other translations say workmanship. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. And God here means theos. Since this is a New Testament scripture, it talks immediately about the Trinity, about God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Running out of time, let's get through this quick also. So in Romans 8:39, it reminds us that yes, God is all things to us. And no matter where we feel in a virtual reality world, we've got to create a space that's not of God. God is always there. So 8:39 says, "No power in the sky above, the earth below, indeed nothing in creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus." Theos here again, three-head God. Nothing can separate me from the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. It means for one, I can't be separated from the one who created me. Two, I'm forgiven of my sins. And three, I hear the voice of God because he lives in me. Man, okay, we're running out of time. We'll be right back after this break with Shell T's Comedy Corner.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drunk through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrell. We want to invite you to listen to The Craig Carlisle Show because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
Hello. This is your girl, Shell T. And Shell T's Comedy Corner. Life you can laugh at. Real life you can laugh at.
We need some real life, because this morning, I'm tripping out this morning because my kid's driving me crazy. Absolutely batty today.
You see, and I am with you. I think that every parent in America right now is probably with you, only if their children are between the ages of 12 and 29. Everybody else is kind of not really completely understanding what you're going through, but 12 to 29, they're with you.
Well, I got one that's 10, and I'm like pulling all the rest of my hair out. I mean, I love dude to death and everything, but there's some days I'm like, really? I mean, yeah. Like, seriously?
Yeah, there's some days I'm like, Jill, not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, because like, okay, some days I may think, okay, can I get away with it? I mean, can I plan it? Would the Lord
can
be
I make
mad?
It look like an accident?
You know what I'm saying? Can I give him just a little bit too much asthma meds, make his heart blow up?
But you know, we're in a great place right now. I think.
How so?
A lot of, again, remember this is real life. You can laugh at, and it's there's a lot of fires going on right now, right?
So you want to drop them off in the fire in the flame? We drop out there. And,
No. Remember, we got to make it look like we didn't have nothing to do with it. So I outside, and I'm doing a lot of running. I got my kids with me, but I only got one mask, right? So I thought to myself, just like when we're on the airplane, and they say, if something happens, you make sure you put your mask on first. Make sure you're okay. Then you worry about someone else, right? So I only had one mask. And in order for me to drive around and be in control, I had to have the mask on. Now, if the kids ended up, hey, getting a little smoke inhalation, whatever the case may be.
Right.
The reality of it is that I had to take care of myself first before I could take care of them.
I feel you, dog. But, you know, my kids got asthma. So, you know, I'm thinking, I just got to, like, be in the vicinity.
Get close enough.
You know what I'm saying? I just drive through a smoky. Shoot, I don't even have to go to a smoky. I had to go to the barbecue and hang out back, talk to the cook. And that's it. That's right. A wrap.
But now, all jokes aside, there's a lot of people going on, and we our hearts out are going out to the people that have lost their homes, and there's people that lost their lives. And but I'm trying to figure something out here, though. Because it seems like in Los Angeles, even though there's a lot of things going on in Southern California area or whatever the case may be, the skies look pretty doggone good out there.
You know, it never rains in Southern California. So, you know what I'm saying? We don't burn down either. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to figure it out. I was told that the Kim Kardashian, they hired their own private firefighters to protect their house. And people were kind of upset about it. And I thought to myself, well, hey, if you had the money, wouldn't you hire your own private firefighters? But then I started thinking a little deeper. Where do you find private firefighters at? Like, do you have them, like, on payroll, like, with your cleaning crew and your cooks? It's like, you get cleaning cooks, firefighters. It's like, they do nothing else until you need them.
Well, you know, the Kardashian got a couple extra problems, you know, because if you even run a microwave too long, they have their face start to slide, slippity slide. You know, so it's a whole different problem.
So I guess they would have a spare firefighter crew and everything else on there. I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't understand. If you have money, you don't get smoke in your skies, nor do you have to worry about regular firefighters. You have your own private firefighting team, and I'm just trying to get it all figured out. What do I need to do? where am I slacking in life?
We're going to need a few more dollars, man. A few more Benjamin Franklins. And
just a few more. Because I'm just like, I don't know. My house catches on fire. Yeah, regular police. Yeah, you guys don't worry about it. I got my private firefighters coming in to take care of that.
I don't need no doctor.
And what do they do when there's no fire?
Well, they're probably helping them out with their makeup, you know, carrying the car.
Cross training.
There you go, private security.
Got you, pool boys. I got you.
Holding the camera as the paparazzi go by, you know what I'm saying?
Makes sense, because I think that would be a very low paying job if you're only waiting for a fire to happen before you get up to go to work.
Hey, sitting around watching TV all day.
Do you actually work for the fire department, and when they call, you have to leave all the other fires and everyone else?
You take the truck, you take all the hoses, right? All the gear, and peace out.
So California and the West Coast is burning down. The East Coast is under a freeze war attack. And people think I'm crazy, and it's okay because I'm a comedian. They always think I'm crazy, and I'm just going to put it out there. I think that somebody's in there playing with the weather and laser beams. Now, hear me out. Hear me out. PG&E is not the reason. I can't get it. I don't understand why all of a sudden after 7 million years, they can't control their electricity to the point where they're burning down huge parts of the country. And on the West Coast, the East Coast, they're freezing in freeze storms. And so I don't think that it's, I think a global warming has a lot to do with it. And I also think somebody is in there playing with the controls in their government space near Area 51. There, I said it.
So you think somebody playing with the thermostat? They're running my taxes. They're going to run my light bill.
I'm saying it's crazy. I believe they're in the laser beam, and they're literally laser beaming people's areas. And I, yeah, you know, you're looking at me crazy right now. You're probably going, what is wrong with this chick? But think about it. Go with me.
Somebody's going to flash your thing you hear in a minute. Fuck, I hit somebody at your door right now. See, you would answer. Don't answer.
She knows. It's just too ironic for me. It's just like this doesn't make any sense. And if you look at the fires, they are very specific. I've never met a flame that was that specific in my life. Flames just usually just flow all over the place, don't you think?
You think they got a mind of their own, like they were set by somebody. Who kind of mind are they on?
That house. Stop right here. Because Will Smith, he's a pretty cool dude. We don't want to burn his house up. No. But come right over here. Turn the laser 3/4 of an inch. Bam. Shoot. Boom. Gone.
I heard about that town of Paradise, California. I heard it burned down, but I heard it wasn't a very friendly place to some people.
I have no idea. I didn't know it was there. Forgive me for not knowing my geography. And I thought Paradise. So I was like, they're making that up. It's Paradise, California.
No, Paradise. Apparently they were saying that Paradise, California only wanted people who were residents of Paradise, California to stay in Paradise, California. And if you weren't from Paradise, you was considered an outcast.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But their whole town's gone, from what I understand on the news.
Yeah, it's, they said Paradise was wiped out, which is a very bad statement to use.
Well, I guess that means they got a new movie coming out called Paradise Lost Trash.
Right? And I just say, isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Well, hey. Well, I tell you, Shel, tell everybody about your show. You have a great new DVD recording, live recording coming up in December.
Yes, 12, 22, 18, 34 days away. We have so many hats. The live comedy DVD stand-up special. Featuring your girl, Shel P. Man, I'm excited. I'm going to do it at the Historic Empress Theater in Vallejo, California. We have on the roster phenomenal singers and hip-hop artists, and they're just going to open up the show, blow your mind, and then I'm going to come in and do my whole stand-up comedy set, all new material. It's phenomenal. You've got to be in the house. If you don't come, buy the DVD. It's okay.
How do people get tickets? How do people get in touch with you? How do they follow you on social media?
Check me out. I am on all social media outlets at Shel T Funny. You just type in CHELLETFUNNY, Shel T Funny on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You could also hit me up at my website, ShelTFunny.com. Again, CHELLETFunny.com. Tickets are available, information about my upcoming events and shows, and just to stay connected, you can subscribe to our newsletter. So come and find out and look me up and check me out. Just type my name in Google every once in a while just to keep it going.
Hey, just Google me. I'm Shel T. Just Google me.
Just Google me. Just Shel T. Google me. And if you Google me, then I'll be much easier to find.
Hey, when these weekends coming into the show, can you do a little bit as a preview so that people can understand? I mean, because I know people listen to the Shelty's Comedy Corner here on the Craig Carlisle Show, and they laugh. And Tommy are cutting up most of the time with you and listening and stuff. But maybe one of these weeks you can just give people a little sample, just a little taste. Don't choke them all the way out.
Just a little something, something, get their mouth wet a little bit so they can just be looking forward to tasting a look. That just sounds creepy. That sounds funny when you say it. I was like, wait, I don't know what anyone tastes me. Never mind. Yeah. Let's definitely make that happen. All right.
Well, we love to see you. Love to hear from you. Again, you're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show. Oh, you have a very great day, and we'll see you again next week right here on the Craig Carlisle Show. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrell. We want to invite you to listen to the Craig Carlisle Show because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.